Okay, so patience, the Greek word hypomone. Endurance, the Greek word hypomeno, H-Y-P-O-M-O-N-E, H-Y-P-O-M-E-N-O. Basically the same word. And for years I've taught that patience is really this, the patience to allow God to work in the face of five senses contradiction. Okay? The patience to allow God to work in the face of five senses contradiction. In other words, even when things look bad, you're still going to continue to sit and allow and believe that God's going to deliver you. That's patience in the Bible, okay? And actually, the definition, the Strong's definition that I got off of BlueLetterBible.com calls patience the temperament which does not easily succumb under suffering. In other words, that you don't give up when things aren't going the greatest. That's patience. That's endurance. The patience or the endurance, the quality of allowing to sit tight and allow God to work, even when things aren't going the best. You know, when your finances aren't going well, when you're going through a difficult period in your life, you know, I mean, think of it, you know, life is a journey, right? The Bible calls life a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And really, life is a journey. I talk a lot about, you know, if you want to go to Dallas, what do you got to do? You can't just snap your fingers, because this isn't Star Trek. We don't have transporters. You can't just snap your finger, and you're in Dallas immediately, right? You've got to go. Either you've got to get on a plane and mess around with the airport, or you've got to drive. And you drive there, you either got to drive all the back way and through all the small little towns, and it takes you forever. Or you got to take the interstate, and you got to go through San Antonio. And there's always a traffic jam in Austin, right? There's always a traffic jam in Austin. There's always construction in Waco, right? There's always something going on that highway. And so you finally get to Dallas. And when you come back, you got to do the same thing. And so it's the same principle. Life is a journey. And there's always going to be things along the way that aren't pleasant. But one of the things you have to do to get through life is you have to have a goal. And in the Bible, the goal, the ultimate goal, we call it the hope. And the hope is where someday Christ comes back. We all get new bodies. We all live forever. I'm not going to teach about the hope, but I need to start teaching about it because it's something I haven't taught on in a very, very long time. But it's the hope. And that's what should keep us going even through the face of very, very, very difficult times. Even your friend committing suicide. Even people dying. You know, we've had several deaths and people that we know in the last year or so who have passed away, really, and really either too young or very unexpectedly and too young. And one of the things we've had to build in our lives, in our minds, is the hope. And the hope that, you know what, the devil may have won the battle, but he doesn't win the war. Because someday, when Christ returns, that man who had a heart attack too young, or that little boy who succumbed to really devil spirits and killed himself, is going to wake up. And he'll have a new body. And he'll have a new everything. And he'll live forever. And so will you and I. So really, this life that we live now, honestly, compared to eternity, is a vapor. It's a puff of smoke that drifts along and then it dissipates. That's really what life is here. We all have to have the hope. And the hope biblically, you know, we think of hope and what do we think of? Gee, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow because I want to go do whatever. You know, I want to play golf next week, so I hope it doesn't rain. Well, hope biblically is not the same as the hope that we use it in today. The hope biblically is a certain expectation of a future event. It's absolutely going to happen. Absolutely. Ladies, when you get pregnant, you have hope, right? And guess what you also have to have when you get pregnant? Patience and endurance, right? Because it ain't no fun being pregnant. I've never been pregnant, but I've seen enough pregnant women to know it's no fun. And that I don't want to do it. So you have hope because you know there's going to be a baby. And it makes it what? It makes it worth it, doesn't it?
Yep.
Right? It makes it worth it. All the problems that pregnant women have, and I don't know all of them, but you know, the weight gain and the uncomfortableness and the going to the bathroom 20 times a day and you know, all the other things that you go, plus the pain and plus the, you know, I mean, everything. Because of the hope, it makes it worth it. Well, sometimes we have to have the hope in our own lives, the hope of Christ's return, to make things worth it. And so when you start to look in the Bible, what you find is that the concepts of patience, endurance, and hope are all wrapped up together. So, let's look at a few verses about patience. And you'll see that patience, endurance, and hope are all wrapped up together. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And in verse 7 gives a great analogy of what hope is. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." So what's it talking about? The hope of the return. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," or the farmer, should be, that's farmer, "the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." This is another great example of patience, where you just have to sit and wait. You plant a seed in the ground, and what happens? Tomorrow you got a big stalk of corn, right? No. What happens? It's got to come up, it's got to be watered, it's got to be fertilized, it's got to be cultivated, you got to weed it, you got to make sure there's not bugs on it, and hopefully, in 2 or 3 or 4 months, you get what? You get your ears of corn. That's patience. That's what it's talking about. That sometimes life takes some endurance. Sometimes when things are difficult, you know what? You just got to push through it. And so you've got to allow God to work. Like the farmer has to plant his crops and he has to cultivate and wait on the crops, sometimes you and I have to just work through difficult times in life. It takes some endurance. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And Luke chapter 8 is talking about the parable of the sower. And really this is the same analogy, the farmer. In verse 15 says, and of course this is the parable where he talks about some falls on stony ground, some falls on good ground, some falls in the thorns and the weeds, some falls by the wayside. But that which falls on good ground, in verse 15, it says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." You know, even you as a believer, you know, you begin to cultivate the word in your life, you're going to bring forth fruit. But it may take a while. It's going to take some working. It's going to take some, you know, you don't plant a seed and the next day you've got a fruit tree. It takes time. It takes cultivation. It takes patience. And you as a believer, when it comes to the Word, are going to have to cultivate the Word in your heart. If you want fruit, you've got to cultivate the Word in your heart. It's not going to happen from one day to the next. It's going to take time. The Word's got to be nurtured, the Word's got to be watered, the Word's got to be fertilized, and you've got to allow time for the Word to grow and to bring forth that fruit. What a great principle, huh? Man, let's look at Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Even when things are going bad, even when life is not treating you so nice, You've got to have perseverance. You've got to have patience to get through the rough times. You know, sometimes you catch a cold, and what have you got to do? You got to take it easy for a couple of days. You got to just kind of work through it. And it's the same principle in so many areas of life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 says, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure." You know, when things are going rough, you just have to have patience. There's going to be tribulation in life. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be persecution. And by the way, persecution doesn't necessarily mean, you know, people, you know, hassling you for your religion. It just means just difficulties in life. Just difficulties in life. Verse 5, "which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You think people, if people hassle you, don't worry. At some point in time, they're going to have trouble. Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? It may not be in this lifetime, but people who mess with God's people, they're gonna pay for it sooner or later. It may not be in this lifetime, but it will certainly be in the next. Because God will take care of His people, and He will take care of people who abuse God's people. How about that? Pretty interesting, huh? But no matter what, whatever difficulty is going on, you've just got to persevere through it. You've got to have patience. And you know what? Patience is necessary for a godly walk. It is absolutely necessary. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, just the next book over. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you want to walk a godly walk, you've got to have patience. You've got to have it. You've got to have the ability to not easily succumb when difficulty strikes. You've got to have the ability to stand and let God work, even if it takes some time. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." And he's talking about, like, you know, loving money and all of that stuff. Let's start in verse 10, okay? Let's just start in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. And that follow after means to pursue, to chase. It is actually translated persecute in some places. Dioko is the Greek word. It's actually translated to persecute. It literally means to chase. You know, like when your child's running from you and you're chasing them down, trying to grab them? That's what it means. It means to chase, to try to get. It's translated persecute. Follow after these things. Chase them down if you have to. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And by the way, meekness is the ability to be taught. We call it coachability. Meekness is the quality where you are willing to listen and learn. That's meekness. So these things, patience is one of the things that is necessary for a godly walk. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I started working this concept of patience, and I went, oh my gosh, I'm not sure I can cover all this in one teaching. So I had to actually, there's some things I just had to leave out. To cover this, there's so much in the Bible. I was amazed at how much is in the New Testament on patience. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's an example of Paul's patience. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. By the way, long-suffering is putting up with people. Patience is putting up with circumstances. To be an effective minister of God's people, you've got to have these things. You've got to have a good doctrine. You've got to know the Word. You've got to have a good godly manner of life. You've got to have a purpose. You've got to have why you're doing what you're doing. You've got to have faith or believing. You've got to have long-suffering where you put up with people. Because trust me, you got to put up with people sometimes when you do this. You need to walk with the love of God. That's charity. To be a minister, you've got to be able to walk with the love of God. And you've got to have patience. That's what you've got to have. And Paul says, look at my life. Look at my example of what I have. You've fully known about me. Follow me. Verse 11. And here's why you've got to have some of these qualities. Persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all, the Lord what? Delivered me. And that word delivered literally means rescued. He rescued. God rescued him. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. that literally means will endure. Will endure. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you are going to endure someone chasing you. And maybe not always people, but circumstances. Everybody who lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to endure affliction for the word's sake. You are. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things with that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Good stuff. Boy, good stuff. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Let's just a couple of more books. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, there is example after example after example of where God delivered people in the Old Testament. All right? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at a couple of examples, okay? This whole chapter is full of it. Let's look at verse 22, for instance. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying... I'm sorry, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departed of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing he who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, lest he be destroyed and the firstborn should touch them, or that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as of dry land, when the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. You know, and if you continue on, it says in verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So all these examples in the Old Testament. So when you get to chapter 12, verse 1, here's what it says. Wherefore, taking into account all of that in verse 11, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All those examples of the Old Testament are this cloud of witnesses, this cloud of examples we have. Of what? Of God's deliverance. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience, looking unto Jesus, listen to this, the author and finisher of our faith, who was, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What have you done which even compares with what Jesus had to go through? Nothing. But he endured the cross. He endured it. He endured the beatings. He hung up on that cross for 6 hours, tortured. He was beaten for hours and hours and hours. He endured it. Nothing we've done, we've had to go through, has even compared with that. Nothing has compared with that. So if he can do it, you know what? We can do it too. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is about the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is about the love of God. And it gives the qualities of walking with God's love. And guess what? What do you think is one of the main qualities of walking in love? Patience. I'm sure you all knew the answer to that, right? Okay. Okay. So in chapter 13, in verse 4, charity suffereth long. In the Greek word there, it's not the same one as we've been seeing, but it's a synonym of hypomone, but it means to have endurance or to be patient. Charity suffers long. It puts up with things. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. It's not jealous, in other words. I'm not jealous when somebody else is doing well. You know, so many people in the world, they're, oh, look at so-and-so, he's doing so well. And you're like, ah, he didn't deserve it, or it should be me, or whatever, you know. No, when you're walking with the love of God, you're happy when other people do well. That makes you happy. Man, I'm glad you're doing well. That's great. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not arrogant. It's not a braggart. It's not puffed up, verse 5, does not behave itself unseemly or improperly, walking around a public store saying rude things loudly, you know, or whatever. There was a guy on the airplane yesterday who was at the stewardess and telling him to be quiet because he was drunk and he was a friendly guy, he was a nice guy, but man, he was talking up a blue streak, you know, on the plane. Everybody could hear him, and finally he had to say, hey buddy, you need to keep it down. You don't do that when you're walking in love. Does not behave itself unseemly. Isn't rude or obscene, in other words. Seeketh not her own. Isn't always saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's not the love of God. Is not easily provoked. In other words, doesn't get angry easily. Love of God thinks no evil. Doesn't even think evil about people. Doesn't even think evil. Rejoices not in iniquity. You know, you're not, oh man, look at so-and-so. Woo, man, are they messed up. We saw Fred, and he was at the club last night. Man, that guy was drunk. It was so funny. No, you don't rejoice when things are going bad for other people. You rejoice not in iniquity or when somebody else has maybe fallen, when they're not acting as a good Christian. You don't rejoice in that. But rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, you tolerate, you're tolerant when you walk in love, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You put up with things, you put up with people, and you put up with circumstances. Charity never fails. Great qualities of charity is what? Patience and endurance. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Here in Romans chapter 15, God is even called the God of patience. Verse 5 of 15 of Romans. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So God, He's called the God of patience. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to close it out here. And I think 2 Corinthians chapter 6 really sets out how important patience is. Just really, really establish it, does it? That, you know what? For a godly walk, it's of the utmost importance. It really is. That is just a necessary quality and ingredient of our walk with God, a walk according to the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 4, talking about being ministers. You know, if you know you desire one day to be a minister of God, if you desire to be a minister of God, you've got to have patience. You got to be able to put up with stuff. You got to be able to put up with people. Look at verse 4 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in what? Much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes. In other words, in all these things, you're going to be patient. When things aren't going well, when you don't have all the things you need in life, when you've got mental pressure, when you've got pressure from the, you know, a lot of pressure comes from where? The inside. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves. That's affliction. In distress, in stripes, in imprisonments. Verse 5, in tumults, and that means when you're just tossed to and fro, when you're just thrown about in life, right? Maybe not literally, but figuratively. In tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You're going to be taken through life by those things. You're going to persevere by those things, by pureness and knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. See, even when you're sorrowful, you can be rejoicing. Even when life's difficult, you can still know that God is going to be there to deliver you. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Wow. We can have that. You know, if you desire to be a minister, sometimes you have to go through things. And really, just to be a believer, you have to go through things. So, you know, have patience. When things aren't going so well, you just got to sit back and you just got to say, God, I know that you're going to deliver me. I know that I'm going to make it through this. I know that you will redeem me, that you will deliver me out of everything that's going on. Okay? Amen.